You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Everybody ready for the Word? Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 15. Actually, it's a message I preached. You might remember it. I preached it probably 7-8 years ago. Y'all remember this message? Romans 15. Come on. That's why I'm preaching it again, because you've already forgotten it. Goodness gracious, 7 years and you've already forgotten this message. You know, we talked about our uniqueness in the body of Christ, that we're all different, and we are. Thank God. I mean, I'm glad there's not another one of me. You're probably glad too. But there's not another one of you. And there's something you have that I don't have, something I have you don't have, and that's why we get together. That's why God instituted church, and that's why he made us the way we are. We're all unique. We all have different personalities. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I got that. And everybody's not my cup of tea. But I'm somebody's cup of tea. I am somebody's cappuccino. What are you talking about? But I'm not everybody's, and I understand that. And there's a lot of great churches in our town and all around the world that are serving God, and thank God for them. Personalities are different. You receive differently, and you minister differently. All of us do. That's okay. We're the body of Christ. We're not numbers. We're people. We're people with functions and gifts and talents and deficiencies, as it were. I mean, I need you. You need me. And that's good. That's okay. There's an eye, there's a hand, there's a foot. We're all members of a body. God doesn't just count us as numbers. And even in your family, when someone goes on to be with the Lord, you don't lose a number. You lose a function of office. You lose a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or a brother or sister. And so that's the way it is. We're like an automobile or like a body. That's what is a perfect example. You don't lose just a member, a number of parts. Now you've lost a hand. Well, you've lost the function of a hand. You hadn't just lost a part. And so it is with church. You know, when you come to church and you join up with a church, you're not just adding a number. You're adding your life, your personality, your gift, your talents that weren't there before. And when someone leaves a church, it's the same way. You lose a function. You lose a talent, a gift, and so on and so forth. Having said that, we're uniquely gifted in that respect, but we also need each other. God never asked us to serve him alone. There are no lone rangers in this thing. And I always bring out lone ranger, even he had Tonto. We don't think about that. But it is the devil's ploy, the enemy's ploy, to separate us. Because he can weaken you if he can separate you from the herd. That's the way a predator operates. That's the way lions, tigers operate, wolves and all. They separate the weak ones. They get them away from the herd because you're vulnerable when that happens. So there's strength in numbers. One to chase thousands, two put 10,000 to flight, the Bible says. Amen? If any two agree is touching anything, they ask my Father, it shall be given them. Jesus said that. So we know that we're strong together. And, yeah, you can stay home and read your Bible, but it's not the same. You can stay home and watch TV. That's Christian TV. It's not the same. Kind of like that joke I heard the other day or read it somewhere, probably on Facebook, and it's got to be true on Facebook. But this guy was going into heaven and says, I noticed you hadn't been going to church. And they said, well, I watch you on TV every week. I watch Christian. He said, well, good. We got a section over here where you don't go to heaven, but you can watch it on TV over here. Just a joke, okay? I'm just, yeah. Don't read any theology in that. That's just, okay. But God's called us together. We're stronger together, amen? I'm telling you, you've made me a better man. I mean, from being here, a better Christian. I mean, I am a Christian. I'm not any more of a Christian, but I'm more effective as a Christian. You know, I've honed some edges. I often talk about the class. You know, we've been meeting for 34 years in that class and commenting, questioning, and challenging each other, and it's good. Iron sharpens iron. Accountants of friend sharpens accountants of friend. I mean, you bring out things in me. I bring out things in you. We're good for each other. It was John Donne that said this classic poem, you know, in his book, I think it was Meditations, a work on poetry. He said, no man is an island entire unto himself, but every man's a piece of the whole. And he was talking about Europe. He said, the continent of Europe. He said, if one clod be washed into the sea, and he wasn't clodding you a clod, it just happened to work out that way. If one piece of it is washed off into the sea, Europe, the continent, is the less. And every man's death diminishes me, for I'm a part of mankind. Therefore, sin not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And the bell is ringing for you to get involved in suffering, sighing, dying humanity. And everything God has gifted you with and given you is for the purpose of others and helping others. Are you with me? And you have something that is not unique all by itself. It's only unique amongst us. You don't even shine until you get around us, because if there's nobody else but you, then you're normal. Amen? And like I always say, everybody's normal until you get to know them. But scratch that. But when we get around each other, it pulls out those gifts. It pulls out our abilities. It pulls out our gifts. It pulls out our talents. That's one thing I pray when I minister. God, pull on the gift. Pull the gift out. Pull it out of me, you know, the thing you put in me, the thing you placed on me, my calling. Because if I just say something that'll help you, that might help you a day or two. But if you get a hold of something God says, it'll help you for a lifetime. Amen? So less of me, more of him. Less of me in the flesh and more of him in the spirit. Praise God. Romans 15. Y'all found it? I want to talk today about not just getting together, but the purpose of getting together. Actually, we're just getting together to get marching orders, as it were. We're soldiers in the army of God. I'm not trying to be ultra-militant here, but we are in an army. Are you with me? And there is a battle going on, if you hadn't figured it out. There's a war going on for your soul, and a war going on for your marriage and your family and your city and your state and your country. There's a battle going on. We can't just opt out here. We got to fight. We got to stand, fight, and win. Hallelujah. And so we get together like this, and we find out how to pray. We find out how to have a good marriage, how to love. God's weapons are different than ours, are you with me? But they're effective and they work. Amen. You got to learn how to forgive. You got to learn how to walk holy, all those kinds of things, because there is a battle going on. We need to be sober and vigilant, the Bible says, because our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. If you'll trust God, you won't have to worry about the devil. You don't have to go dig under every rock to find him. You just trust God and stand on the word, and you'll be empowered to overcome whatever's thrown your way, whatever temptation comes your way. Are you with me? Don't be like the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. I'm not interested in making the church like the world. Are you with me? I don't want to do that. I know songs change and styles change and paint changes and all that, but the gospel doesn't change. That never changed. We never compromise that. The world is tired of the world. The world needs something more than the world. The world needs God. And we have to give that. We have to share that in a way that connects with them, yes. And, you know, that we don't hate. We've got to do it in love. And we've got to reach out to them. But we don't become worldly to reach the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'll never resort to immorality to reach the world. I never resort to crudeness and rudeness, are you with me, from the pulpit, just to reach the world, because that's accepted or funny or whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm going to love the world, I'm going to hate the world, but I'm going to preach the gospel, hallelujah. Preach the good news, preach the good news glad, because we got something to say, amen? We got something to share, praise God. The world needs us, they need, and we get together and we find out what we can do to share our gift, to share our uniqueness, to... You have a world that I'm not in. Every one of us live in a certain world, a family, friends, and workplace environment, and neighborhoods, and so on. That's a world you live in, and you are a light shining in that place. And there's something unique about you and different about you. When we get together, we find out what we're really all about and why we're here. We're not just here to be saved. We often hear that, you know, it's all about souls. Well, I got that in one sense, but I've been saved now for 40 years. Are you with me? I'm going on 41 years. So if it's just about salvation, I'd just gone to heaven when I got saved and been fine. But actually, I'm still here for a reason. And I'm here to help, to bless, to reach out to others. You've heard the story when God called me to teach. He placed on my heart other people. That's what got me. That's what I couldn't fight. When God drew me, and you know, when somebody was witnessing to me and I was struggling with being saved, many things that took place there, but one thing very strong, very particular, and I've said it many, many times, is he put Chris, my son, on my heart. You know, I remember fighting this thing about accepting Jesus and, well, if there's a hell, I'll just go there. You know, that makes a lot of sense. That's really being a man, isn't it? I mean, that's macho. That's mucho stupido is what it is. It's not macho. Just sounds tough. You know, if I just go to hell, that's what I'll do. I'll be a man, I'll just go there. But I was sitting at a table at Chateau Creole Apartments in Deer Park, Texas. in 1975, thinking this thing through, maybe there is a God. I'd finally realized there was one. Finally realized there was a heaven. And I probably wasn't going there. I was lost in drugs and jails and all that stuff, you know, and thinking, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. I'll just man up and, you know, whatever. If I go to hell, I just go to hell. And I saw my son. He was about a year and a half old. Chris was just a little baby over there on the other side of the table with spaghetti all over him or something. And inside, I didn't know it was God then, but I know now. I heard this, not an audible voice, but the thought came very strongly. Yeah, you could go to hell, but what if he goes to hell? And I thought then that I'm not my own. Nobody is. Nobody is. If I did not serve God and Chris went to hell, that'd be on me. Hello. That would be on me because my life is not my own. And it was one of many things that got me to thinking, you know what, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and I'm going with it. And I can do something about this. I can get right. It's not just about me. God loves me. He cares about me. But he doesn't just want to bless me. He wants to make a blessing out of me. Isn't that what the scripture says? It even says that Abraham, when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing, and in you all nations will be blessed. So we talk about prosperity. I believe in prosperity, but prosperity with a purpose. Are you with me? I believe it. People say, well, that's a bless me club. Well, okay, I got that. If we stop there, we're wrong. But to be a blessing, you have to be blessed. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. Are you with me? If none of us get delivered, we're not going to help anybody else get delivered. If we don't get on our feet, we're not going to help anybody else get on their feet. Christianity is not about self-sacrifice. It's about Jesus sacrificing for us. And my self-sacrifice has no point to it if it doesn't help anybody else. If I'm just doing without to be doing without, then all the picture and all the praise and all the focus is on me. But if I'm giving away something, if I'm doing without to help others, then it has a point, and that's Christianity. Christianity is not doing without. It's not, are you catching this? Because if that's it, then let's all go off to a mountain somewhere, join a monastery. But the Bible is very plain. We're supposed to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Amen? So he does want to bless us, yes, to bless others. He does want to prosper us, yes, to prosper others. We're a prosperous church. We've been out of debt since 1997. But you know why? Because we've been given to missions. Hello, we got the food ministry out here in a small town and doing all the Hallelujah Night that we do every year. The things that we do over and over, because we're funneling that. We're like channeling all that money and all that blessing to the world. That's prosperity with a purpose. And prosperity always has a purpose. And blessing always has a purpose. And we were saved not just to go to heaven, but I would submit to you, we're saved to serve. Not in just a militant way. I mean, it's just I want to be like Jesus, don't you? Everything Jesus did, he did with others in mind. Everything. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? The recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, the anointing on him was not for him. The anointing on him was for others. Hallelujah. That's why we need to get together. Because I need you, and you need me. We need each other. There's something you add to me that just makes me a better person. It was meant to be. And there's something I add to you that makes you a better person. And when you get out in the world, you know, and whatever it is that you do in your neighborhood or business or family or whatever it is, shine your light. Hallelujah. Think of God, help me see people like you see them. Help me have the love that you have for them. Help me have the compassion that you have for them. And let me be aware of others. Man, walk slowly through the crowd. Amen. People want to be loved. They want to be heard. They want to be helped. They want to be needed. They want to count. You know, I ask that question a lot when people come to church. You know, I think when I come to minister, I think, what would someone want when they came to our church? What would they want? Well, they'd want to have some hope. They want. Are you with me? There's no hope in the world. And we're dealers in hope is what we are. We give people hope. There is hope. There's help. There's healing. There's cure. His name Jesus, amen? I don't know what you've been heard or who's lied to you, but you do count. You're important. You're somebody because God, you cost the blood of Jesus. That's what you cost. That's a high price. no higher price ever been paid for anything or anybody. God thought so much of you, he sent his son to die for you. He definitely loves you. Don't you buy that lie that he doesn't. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Now, granted, you got to get saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell, and there is a hell. But see, we don't preach hell. Oh, it exists, yes. I preach the fact that it's there, and it is where most people do go. But we preach heaven. We preach the gates open. What are you doing in a prison? We preach there's a way out of this thing. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? And now that we are saved, now that we are Christians, we're saved to serve. We've received to give. God to me and then to others. Romans 15. I know you found that. I've given you so much time to get there. Romans 15. Notice what it says here. It's the first verse. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, God doesn't care about you. He's fine with you having, you know, joy and happiness in your life and hobbies and things you like to do. That's fine. You just have to have priorities. That's all. Keep your priorities straight. Brent and I are going to Hawaii in about a week and going to relax. I'm going to preach while I'm there. I'm going to preach two Sundays, you know, while I'm there. I thought about that when we were playing that song, that real tropical version of, I thought, man, Honolulu, I want to go there. But anyway, y'all get that in a minute. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We ought to think about others. Oh, come on, man. Just, you know, there's somebody that needs you. There's somebody that needs you to pray. There's children that need you. There's husbands, wives, you know, mothers, fathers. There's the world out there that needs you to serve God. I often think about it before I make a decision. Not necessarily whether I can get away with it or not or whether I'm still saved or not. Of course, I'm not saved by works. I got that. But, you know, some things I do wouldn't be understood. Some things might mislead people. Something might hurt someone, you know. And I live for others in that respect. I think about this church. What would the church think if I, their pastor, did this? Or Brenna as my wife or my children or my grandchildren. I got grandchildren watching me. Are you with me? They need an example. They need a mentor and a model and a leader. And all of us are mentors and models and leaders to somebody. Every one of us has influence. Every one of us is a witness and a light. They need to see you serve God. They need to see your marriage make it. Listen, your kids need to see your marriage make it. Your grandkids need to see your marriage make it. Terrible I had to say that, but there's people getting divorces way up in life, you know. And if you've had one, God loves you. He's for you. You got to start from where you are. In fact, turn to your mate right now, if you will, and say, we're stuck. Okay? Make it work. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't go backwards. I mean, but wherever you are right now, let's go forward. Amen? If you're not married, well, you know, ask God to bless you. And if you want to get married, ask God to send you a good mate that loves God more than you do. And you're not going to find him in the bar, okay? Help you out here. Okay. And he goes on, second verse says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. Wow. Thinking about blessing our neighbors. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Isn't that awesome? He took our sin on. He did what he did for us. Jesus didn't come down here for himself. He was doing just fine. He came down here for us, and he went to the cross for us, and he died for us. And there's an old gospel song, you know, it says, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Hallelujah. Fourth verse, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. I got hope. How about you? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. That's how we ought to receive people. As Christ received them. Did Jesus die for them? Yes, he did. You may think, well, I don't like them. Well, God didn't ask you to like them. He asked you to love, them. There is a difference. Hello. Love acts in a certain manner. Love says certain things. Love's more than a feeling. I mean, that, if you want to know, that old song, The Thrill Is Gone, you know what that was a feeling. And that's why a lot of divorces take place, because the feeling's gone. That's because people, they know about falling in love, but they don't know how to be in love. They know how to dive off the diving board into the pool, but they never learn how to swim. And so they keep jumping out of the pool, finding another diving board to jump off of and recreate that feeling of hitting that water. Woo! But they never learn the joy of swimming, being in love. Are you with me? And sometimes that puppy love turns into a dog's life. But it's a mature love. Being in love is different than just falling in love. It has nothing to do with feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act. I think feelings come with it. Stay with me. I think you do start out many times with love and forgiveness, and sometimes you don't have it, and you just do it, and eventually the feeling will come. But you don't act on feelings. You act on the Word of God. Amen? You do it because it's the right thing to do. We have a responsibility here. Amen? Message translation says this. This is good. Y'all getting something out of this? Okay, tell your face. All right, that's better. Everybody smile. Good. Romans 15:1, Message translation. It's actually more of a paraphrase, but it's really cool the way I think it says this. It says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not for status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? I like that. That's good, isn't it? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles. But waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. I like that. Always on the edge, looking at what God can do in this situation. How can God help this person? How can God use me to help that person? That's what's exciting. You know, I went down to Guatemala here at that conference, but it's every time I go out and every time I minister, every time I witness to someone, every time I pray for someone, I walk away, I think, more blessed than they are, just to be a part of that. You know, have you ever led someone to the Lord? Do you realize you're on cloud nine for days on a deal like that? I mean, it does something to you, you know, when you help someone. And you reach down, and whether it's financially help someone, or, you know, just whether it's pray for someone or lead someone to the Lord, I'll tell you what, there's just something about helping people. We were made to do this, and we've been lied to. We've been run over. We've been deceived. We've been bamboozled. Hello. You really can help the world. You can. You got Jesus inside of you. You got the light of the world inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you, and you got the victory through Christ Jesus. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Christ, says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You got something in you. You're not hollow on the inside. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You house in this earthen vessel the power of Almighty God to help this suffering world. And he goes on and says this. He says, may our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Wow, I like that. That would be enough right there. Jesus loved people. I ought to love people. Jesus prayed for people. I ought to pray for people. Jesus helped people. I ought to help people. I ought to be asking God, how can I help somebody? You say, well, I don't have anything. Well, bake a cake. Make a phone call. Get on your knees and pray. You can do that. Amen. I like banana pudding just as a side. I just thought I'd throw that out. If it, you know, God puts it on your heart, I'm just, you know, just want you to know. Henrietta Mears said this. She said, the person who keeps busy helping the one who is below him won't have time to envy the person above him. I like that. Isn't that good? Hey, 2 Corinthians, turn there if you will. Hallelujah. Saved to serve. Got a purpose. Got a mission. You and I are on a mission. Hallelujah. You've got inside of you the light of the world. Hallelujah. You got a responsibility. In fact, with every right comes a responsibility. And so we're talking about being responsible. Okay, I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus. I have come out of sin. I've come out of darkness into light. I've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the glorious light of the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm in a kingdom now. I have in me what I didn't used to have in me. I can do now what I couldn't used to do. Where I live for myself, now I live for Him and others. Others. That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? Just others. That'd be a great series. Others. Because it's all about others. It always is. And you know, when you have an encounter with God, you do reach out to people. That's when things start clicking. That's when things start happening. You know, Abraham, when he finally had an encounter with God and got his name changed, then it wasn't long at all Isaac was born. But it wasn't until he saw himself the way God saw him that he began to do what God wanted him to do. Jacob, he was a deceiver, and that's all he did was deceive. Deceive his brother Esau, ran up north and tried to deceive his father-in-law. His father wound up deceiving him for a while. But he finally comes back down into the land of Canaan. Before he gets there, he wrestles with God at the river Jabbok, and God asks him, he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He said, no. He said, your name's Israel, prince among the people. And when God changed his name, he never deceived anybody again after that. He found out who he was and what he was supposed to do, and he did it. Wow. Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah to preach in first chapter of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, oh, I can't speak. I'm but a child. And God said, don't say that, because you will go to whoever I send you to go to, and you will say whatever I send you to say. He had an encounter with God, and he found out who he was. He found out what he could do. I think we're in an identity crisis, really. We don't know who we are. We're saved, we're going to heaven, we still think we're all beat down and worthless, and you know, but that's not the case. God's done something to us, and if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. He even goes on and says this. He said, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciling the world, reconciliation, reconciling the world to himself. You do make a difference. You make a bigger difference than you realize. You're a bigger influence than you realize on people's lives. So as that old telephone commercial, reach out and touch somebody. Amen? Reach out. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1. Did I tell you where it turned to? I didn't? 2 Corinthians 1. This helping you? Amen. Y'all amen all you want. I'll take amens any way I can get them. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation. Listen to this. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, if you got out of a mess, hallelujah, don't just thank God and praise God and testify. We do that, and that's good, and we should, but let's don't stop there. Let's go help somebody else going through the same mess. Because God got us out of our mess, now he wants to empower us to help others get out of their mess. Boy, that's a real leader, really, when you think about it. A real leader will train someone and instruct them on how to do it and show them how to do it. And then the leader will take that person with them, and they'll do it together. He'll help them do it. And then the real leader will step back and let them do it by themselves. And then they will show others how to do it, and the cycle just keeps going, doesn't it? So whatever God did to us, he did to us to help us do that with others. And if he delivered us, he delivered us so we can go deliver others. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. After he preached the gospel to us. Amen. I mean, think about the transition there when God, Jesus did all those things, and then after he did his miracles, the signs and wonders, John 14:12, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go into my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He still gets the glory. He's doing it through us, but it's us out there on the front line. Amen? Good stuff. And then he told his disciples in Matthew 28, he says, teaching them to observe. He said, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28. Slow down. Matthew 28, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he says, teaching them to observe, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So everything that Jesus did, he shared with others, his disciples, and everything he shared with others, his disciples, he told them to share with others. Hallelujah. You know, salvation is not complicated. Witnessing is not complicated. If you've been saved, you can tell your story. In fact, no one has the authority to tell it more than you. No one can share what Jesus did to you more than you. Just share what Jesus did for you. That's witnessing, isn't it? Just share how he got you out of this mess and how he saved you and forgave you or how he healed you or blessed you, whatever he did. Somebody going through something, the comfort that you got from God, go comfort others with. Amen? Hey, let me read again in the Message translation. All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside somebody else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. Mm-hmm. Man, I love that. Remember what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 10? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I think it's upon us, especially this nation where we live, in this country that we live in. It's not a burden, but I think it's a call upon us that are blessed to reach out to those that are not. And we've done that. I think there's been more missions come out of this country than any other country in the world. It's amazing the missions that are supported out of the United States of America. And we're still a great nation because we're still a nation under God. If we cease to be a nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. But we're still a nation under God. But all of us who are blessed and all of us who are gifted and all of us who have, we should help those that have. And it shouldn't be a law. It shouldn't be the government making us do it. I know through taxation and there's a heavy pull to make us a socialist country, but that's just trying to make law out of what should be love and what should be freely given and what should have moral value. When I help somebody of my own free will, there's moral value there. Are you with me? And those that have always helped those that hadn't. Got. But when the law comes and says you have to do it, then all of a sudden we just wipe out charity because nobody's given because they want to. They're mad about it because they're having to. And nobody's grateful because nobody's receiving it. Thankfully, they feel like they have a right to it. That's where our country's going. And that's what's wrong because the church hasn't done what it should do. The government's trying to do what the church should do. And we've let, not when I say we, I'm not you, not me. I didn't let it happen. I'm not apologizing for what a century ago the church has done. But the church got away from educating. The church got away from charitable works and helping. And now the government's coming and educating. And the government's coming and helping. Are you with me? Now, it is what it is, and I'm not against our government. Are you with me? I pray for our nation. I'm part of this country, and thank God for the United States of America. But we would have to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, not see this. Are you with me? God always intended for those that have to give those that haven't, but not as a law. Because then it takes all the moral value out of it. There's no love involved there at all. Everybody's mad at everybody. You know what I'm talking about? And it shouldn't be that way. But to whom much is given, much is required. Have you been blessed? Have you been helped and healed? Sure. Have you been saved? Have you been forgiven? Well, why are you so mean and bitter and hateful to everybody? Come on. Not you. I know it's not you. I'm talking about the person that didn't come to church today. Okay. I catch myself sometimes, you know. I get upset and I think, what am I so upset? I was lost one time. I got no stones to throw. Are you with me? Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. Jesus loved me, I got to love them. I don't have to agree with their sin. I don't have to agree with what they're doing, but I should love them enough to pray for them. Are you with me? And reach out to them, help them, even in the food ministry. You know, there are people that come through there that abuse the system. We try to eliminate some of it, and we have. We've got a pretty strict system where we, in fact, we went over all that again this year. We do it the first year. and make everybody refile again and get all the stuff. Because there are some people that slip through the cracks that are abusing it. Sometimes you have to help the greedy just to reach the needy. But we try to do our best to eliminate that, and we do. We have a good system, but it's not perfect. There's no perfect system. But what are we going to do, throw our hands up and say, we're not helping anybody because somebody abuses it? That's like saying I'm not having church because there's a hypocrite in the church. If you find the perfect church, don't join it. You'll ruin it, okay? None of us are perfect in that respect. So we just keep ministering. Some people get upset when I preach. Some people love it when I preach. I got some of the pastors stirred up down there. Not in a good way. Some of them really got it, and there was some things I said that were a little different than their Pentecostal background, which, you know, we're charismatic, but there was a little difference of thing. And I laughed and loved them and kept preaching. I even one in the middle of one message, I said, oh, you're not getting this. I can tell. And I laughed. I said, but you got to love me. And all I'm asking is you go home, think about this, and see what the scripture says. Because they were bowing up. I could see it on their face. I could see it, you know. But, I mean, we plowed through it and kept going. I mean, we don't hate anybody just because we disagree. Are you with me? I've been there. I've sat out there and heard things I didn't like, you know, and find out later I was wrong. And I always say, you know, people disagree with us all the time. We get to heaven, they'll find out I'm right. Okay. I better close this up before I still. John D. Rockefeller said this. Now, I'm not trying to make this gospel, and I'm not trying to back up the Bible with other quotes. In fact, the only reason he's right is because it agrees with the Bible. Are you with me? Not the other way around. You don't need outside quotes to back up the Bible. You need the Bible to back up outside quotes. Amen? But he said, I believe that every right implies a responsibility and every opportunity an obligation and every possession a duty. That's what we're talking about. We're saved to serve. We've been set free so we can set others free. We've been loved so we can love others. We've been forgiven so we can forgive others. We've had our prayers answered. Because God loves us, yes, initially, no doubt. But it doesn't stop there. He answered our prayers so we can help others and answer their prayers and help them lead them to Jesus to get their prayers answered. Amen? I don't believe God just saves me to save someone else. He saves me because he genuinely loves me. But he wants to make me like him. He loves me too much to leave me where I am. And if I become like him, I will reach out to others. Winston Churchill said this, it's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we need to do what's required. Amen? John Maxwell said this. He said, you cannot contribute to something significant without being changed. And if you want to be better than you are, become a part of something bigger than you are. That's the kingdom of God. Amen? And not that I like quoting Cornel West, but anyway, he did say something pretty profound. I always say even a blind hog finds an acorn if he digs around long enough. But you cannot lead the people if you don't love the people. And you cannot save the people if you don't serve the people. You want to help somebody? Well, you want someone to change? You want to see someone turn around? Show a little care. Show a little compassion. Reach out to them. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Amen? And Jesus in us can do that. We're not all alone in this deal. We got some help now we never had before. We got someone in us we never had in us before. We can do what we could never do before, praise God. Who we used to serve sin, now we can serve God. Hallelujah. And he'll help us do that. Praise God. Stand up with us if you would. Praise God. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Woo! Hallelujah. Everybody say, saved to serve.